Hey podcasters, Claire, Matt and Kimber here from The Big Breakfast.
On today's catch-up, Dennis Kimberti talks footy and cricket with the Ashes going so well for Australia.
We ask what small thing gives you the shits.
We kick off our week focusing on homelessness.
And we'll find out what went down at Kimber's quiz night.
This Big Breakfast catch-up is for ABC Blinds up to 50% off sale.
Wake up with The Big Breakfast. Clancy, Matt and Kimber. Weekdays from 6 a.m. on Mix 94.5.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast.
That's over the shoulder.
The only brekkie show with this legend.
Oh, yes. Hang it on the wall. The work of art.
Let's talk footy with Dennis Kimberti. The Battery World.
You can't smell it, but he has an impressive collection of colognes, and he's got one on today. Dennis Kimberti,
good
morning,
mate. Let's talk footy, not cologne. Come on. Amazing weekend, wasn't it, for footy?
Yeah.
Oh, come on, give me more than that.
Oh, no, I'm with you.
It was hot.
It was hot. It was memorable.
Very.
That's enough.
Hey, I know, because Claire's included me in a football tweet, and it went mental online.
Can you see my smile, Den?
Good for you, too.
Hey, you've
earned
it. Docker.
Hard earned. Amazing weekend. Fremantle defeated the top side, Geelong. And as a result, Geelong, West Coast and Brisbane all have 14 wins now.
Yep.
Three games to go. The Dockers equal ninth. And to make the finals, Kimber, they need how many? They need to finish eighth, don't they?
Eighth, yeah. They've got to be in
the top
eight.
Win a couple, maybe. To get eighth.
Yep. Yeah.
And then the good news for the Dockers is the eighth place team, Adelaide, talking about getting eighth, will play the Eagles on Sunday at Optus Stadium. On the same day, Fremantle play St Kilda in Melbourne. If they can win that, it's conceivable the Dockers could be just outside the eight on percentage by next Sunday night.
Wow.
What crisis? There was never a crisis.
How bizarre, Ben.
Isn't it amazing? After watching Adelaide too, talking about their game against West Coast next week,
yep.
They had 406 possessions in that game. Remember that, 406 for 22 scoring shots. Got it?
Yep.
File it away.
Yep.
That was on Saturday night, so I can't imagine they can beat the West Coast Eagles. So the ball is fairly and squarely in Fremantle's court. Adelaide's 406 possessions produced 22 scoring shots.
Mm-hmm.
30 years ago, let me go back in the time machine. What was his name? McFly.
Marty McFly, that's the one.
Mr. McFly. Well, how time flies. I initially thought it was 20 years. I had to sort of do a double take on that. But anyway, we go back those 30 years. Hawthorn beat Geelong in a classic grand final. Now, the total possessions for both teams, add them up, in that game, 486.
Wow. There you go. What was the number more you were... than 406.
Oh, there you go, you see. And each kicked 21 goals.
That's what a grand final it was.
It wasn't worth the effort, really, was it?
It was.
Back to the Future reference. That's okay. That's good.
As I said a couple of weeks ago, I didn't think Geelong could win the premiership then, and I saw nothing on Sunday to change my mind.
Yeah.
But my crystal ball is killing me. I need to go home and have a lie down. All these gymnastics you do, what might happen, really, you've just got to sit back and see what plays out, don't you? West Coast, I think, will play Richmond in round 22. In fact, I'm sure of it. If they win that, then I'm sure they'll finish in the top two. Brisbane play Richmond at the Gabba in round 23.
Okay.
And that's it, really. It's all smoke and mirrors after that. But does that explain very much? Really?
Mate, that was sensational.
Oh, that was Sudoku.
You sound thrilled. So that's my take on the footy, and it must have been good getting in front of the mob there after that victory.
That was it was pretty cool, Dan. To see the especially those young Dockers, the way they threw themselves at the contest on the weekend was mind blowing.
They were fantastic, weren't they?
Yeah, it was good
to
see.
So lively, and sometimes you throw a few young guys in there, and they sort of, I think, provoke the senior players to play better. It wasn't so much about the young guys playing well, it was the senior players who carried the day. But congratulations to Fremantle. So much flack, well done.
Okay. Yeah. And to rock up to the stadium, as I said to these two, and see all the Geelong supporters there 2.5 hours before bounce because they smelt blood.
Well represented, weren't they?
They certainly were. They were.
The Big Breakfast with Claire, Matt and Kimber.
We didn't want to waste the opportunity to, with Australia in such a dominant position in the first test at Edgbaston in the Ashes, to have Dennis Kimberti here and Steve Smith a superb again, Dan.
It's all sport, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yep. Second century in the test match, which has only been done by, I think, three Australian batsmen have done that. So he was absolutely terrific. A century in both innings. Matthew Wade got one as well. So they've declared it 4 for 487. Who saw that coming? England none for 13, trailing by 384 at stumps. So today, or tonight, our time, is going to be the last day of the test match.
Yeah.
And I think Australia in a terrific position to win this one. It could depend on the weather. England can't win it. I mean, they've just got to sort of shut up shop as best they can. So a terrific performance by Smith. He sits second in the Australian Test averages behind Bradman. Now, you can mention them in the same breath, I reckon. That sounds like some people will say that's sacrilege, but Bradman didn't tour the subcontinent very much. I mean, his figures generally are more Australian and English-based, and South Africa perhaps as well. But no, Smith has played everywhere, and gee, he is a terrific Australian. And in a tight situation, you'd want Steve Smith. There's no question about that.
That strength of character, what he's gone through, he's so served determined. His time, all the booing, and to do that performance, that's extraordinary.
It's a bit of a fairy tale,
it
really,
is,
isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, and it's hard to know. I mean, when do we start forgiving them? Do we forgive them because they did well? I mean, you know, because we're very hard on our tennis players if they misbehave and they do the wrong thing. Like Nick Kyrgios gets a hard time. But we move on once we've done okay. I'm just checking so I know how to behave.
I thought the crowd got bored with his booing last night.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it probably wears off, doesn't it? Particularly when you're a purist. And cricket attracts purists, and they like a batsman who can bat.
Yes.
I think even the English would really appreciate what he's doing. But interesting, I think, did Kyrgios win overnight? I think he might have.
I don't know.
Final, wasn't he? Yeah.
One of those brats did. I have this thing about match rigging. People bet on those games, and when he doesn't try, I just wonder, I think we've had this discussion before, whether his friends can tell if he's not going to try. Wink, wink.
Is it a bit shifty?
He should be gone for match fix.
It'd have to be a big bet, wouldn't it? I put $12 million on you.
well, if you know he's not going to try, you put $12 million on the other bloke.
True.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, there you go, Dan. We look forward to it, and hopefully Nathan Lyon can rip through the English.
Yeah, Steve Smith. Yeah, well done.
This'll fill you up. Everything Perth for brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire-Z, Matt and Kimber.
We want to thank you for listening, but also we want to enrage a few people by doing
this.
Do
I have to play this?
Go on. Oh. Okay, I think that's enough.
You're hungry, Matt.
Doesn't bother me.
Doesn't it?
No.
It affects me. It really affects me, and it's called misophonia.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of people have been talking about it in the last few years because a lot of people realised, oh, I think I have that.
Yes.
Well, they call it a rare mental disorder, but is it that rare?
Well, in the US, they reckon 1 in 1,500 people have it, but it's self-diagnosed. Okay. You kind of know whether it annoys you or not. Just like Matt said, that doesn't bother me.
No.
I don't care. Other people go, oh, I can't stand hearing you chew.
This makes me think of mum going, you're chewing like a cow.
Yeah.
Depends on the context, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
The thing is, it can affect people to varying degrees. This guy, Daryl Murphy from San Diego, he's suffering so much that he can't see relatives because of the throat clearing. He can't dine with other people because he can't stand the chewing noises and pen clickers. You know, that like people who
That actually, that can annoy me.
You can get to?
Yes.
Well, misophonia, it can basically make you irritated, enraged, or even panicked.
Yeah.
It like really.
Life. See, I'd never talk to my family again if they call me Daryl.
No, it's Darrell.
Stay away.
Yeah, well, he says there are just people who have either had to understand my condition or family members. He said, I just can't spend time with you anymore because I can't be around you.
Yeah, okay.
And it's no one else's fault. It's just what happens.
And it feels like such a small thing, doesn't it, to not see your family just because of someone going
the small things that give you the irrits
sometimes. It's the tiny things, isn't it?
Yeah, have you got something small that really
you guys
irritates
talking
you
talking about my no okay all right yeah. It's like people putting, you know, the salt shaker in a different spot.
Oh, does that annoy you?
Well, I do for a moment think, oh, you people. Have I not made it clear?
Yeah,
right. When you say you people, do you mean in your home?
No.
Oh.
You mean anywhere.
Oh, tea. Could you just put it back?
The following statements do not.
It can be the most ridiculous thing. I'm a constant hand washer, right? So if there's not a dry tea towel there, because I live with someone who's a constant washer.
Yes.
So I just want a dry tea towel. So I'm opening the drawer to get the tea towel out. But it's so pathetic that I will make a deal of it.
Oh, yeah. We love pathetic. Yeah, in fact, if you've got a pathetic small thing that irritates you, give us a call.
1-333-53 and tell us what is giving you the irrits. And you can win a great caller of the day prize.
Yeah, oh, this won't irritate you.
No, it's a bag of celery.
Can you stop? I actually hate it.
Tickets to see Pop Icon's Aha. And special guest Rick Astley at A Day on the Green, Wednesday the 19th of Feb at Kings Park and Botanical Gardens. Tickets on sale now through Ticketmaster.
Yeah, Rick rolled along with Aha.
You betcha. Yeah,
give us a call.
1-333-53. Call us and tell us what the small thing is that gives you the irrits.
Hey, Kimber, want to buy it?
No.
Everything Perth for Brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber.
On our way to 18 degrees, it's 12 right now.
We've just talked about misophonia, the sound that of people chewing that can make people really irritated.
Mm.
The thing that makes me irritated is when pedestrians walk up to the traffic light, push the button to get the crossing man.
Oh, yeah.
And then don't wait and for
then,
the man.
Then jaywalk.
And then as soon as they get a bit of a space in traffic, they walk anyway, and then we pull up to the lights and we wait for them. They're not even there. That drives me mental.
Get a life.
Yeah. Stop pushing the button. If you know how to cross the street, don't push it.
I did that on Roberts Road last week, sorry.
Oh,
lucky you weren't in
traffic.
It drives
me insane.
God, you might have thrown something at
me.
Gee
whiz.
Donna's in Rockingham.
Take a pill.
Donna, what small thing gives you the irrits?
When people are eating ice blocks, like those funny faces, those old school funny faces,
yes.
Yep.
And they don't suck them. They feel the need to take a big bite and chew.
Yeah, like Captain Paulie's Wheeze Bars.
Why? What's it? What bothers you about it, Donna?
It's the sound. It actually makes me physically ill. Like, it hurts my feelings.
Yeah.
It's just wrong.
I want to get a shirt that says it hurts my feelings.
It really hurts my feelings.
That's great, Donna. You're really hurting my feelings.
I have feelings, you know.
Thanks, Donna.
Oh, just to see anyone sink their teeth into ice.
Yeah. Let's go to Glen Forest. Keith, what small thing gives you the you-know-whats?
Good morning, everyone. My wife collects the Coles and Woolworths free cooking magazines.
Okay.
We have an entire cupboard in our kitchen devoted to these magazines, but she never, ever used them. She goes straight to the internet.
She's a collector, but not a user. Right.
Oh, yes, I feel that pain. Yeah. I understand that. Because they're quite glossy. They look nice.
And they're free.
Yeah.
As you're walking out.
They look amazing.
Yeah.
I just see them as clutter. We've got stuff on the kitchen bench tops now because they won't fit in the cupboards anymore.
Does it create problems when you bring it up, Keith?
I suggested, like, if I were to die, is there something you would change immediately? That was how I breached the subject, because I just want them gone. He goes, no, there's nothing that annoys me about you. I was ready to cut a deal.
Oh, no, no. That was great reverse psychology, but it fell flat.
Yeah, damn.
Because she's so lovely.
Thanks, Keith. There's nothing about you that annoys me. Rubbish.
Just got into Randy. G'day, Rosie. What's the one thing that gives you the irrits?
I can't handle when a sandwich is cut straight in a square rather than a triangle.
Oh, you need the diagonal.
It's like someone's putting shivers down my spine.
I do it, Rosie, but it's because the top of the bread tastes so much better than the bottom of the bread, and so I eat the bottom half first, and then the top half has the best crust.
What?
So I used to manage a private school canteen, and I have mums come and help me. And Matt
says,
yeah, sure. And then they'd cut them
in
the square, and I'd go, oh, no.
No
squares.
It's ruined.
So that's cutting in half that way and not
on
the
diagonal.
Okay, yeah.
You get two rectangles instead of a triangle.
Rosie, I always thought the diagonal looked like you're getting a bigger piece of the four.
Yeah, I did too.
I don't know. Yeah, it's easier to eat in my eyes. I don't know.
It's a bit harder to hold that grated carrot and lettuce together, though, Rosie, in a corner of a sandwich.
Oh, okay.
you can be more dainty, though, with your eating, can't
Absolutely.
You?
Absolutely.
Rosie's got geophobia, geometrophobia.
Oh, no.
Not going to sell the squares to Rosie, Kimber.
Good luck, Rosie.
Thank you.
Better chance of selling ice to the Eskimos.
Stop it. You're hurting my feelings.
Maybe to Donna's feelings. It's the Big Breakfast.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber. Everything Perth for Brekkie.
Talking about those small things that really give you the irrits.
Yep.
Some things just do. Bart's in Thornley. Bart, what's giving you the irrits?
The other day, my fiancée was cooking some dinner and we were having some bangers and mash, and after the sausages were all cooked, she started cutting them into diagonal slices instead of 90-degree slices.
Oh, dear.
Absolutely crazy.
What's going on there?
You don't want no fancy sausages cut on an angle.
Oh,
they're not cucumbers, they're not carrots.
Yeah, just, true.
Cut them correctly, please.
Yeah, fair enough, too. That's un-Australian. Nothing worse than sausages on a weird angle.
Lorraine in Hilbert, what is it that's giving you the irrits, that small thing?
Oh, my God, it's people's English these days. I cannot stand neck minute. It's next minute.
Oh,
neck
right.
minute. Yeah,
that's... Stand that, it does my head in. My
say
head,
every letter.
I don't even know where it came from. It just became sort of speech from something. I figured it started on a Simpsons episode or something and I missed it, but I don't know.
stupidest thing, and it just makes you look very unintelligent.
I know, hey, Lorraine, but you're entering a world of pain because it's just going to get worse.
It is, yeah. Mm. Hey, Lorraine, what about tomorrow as opposed to tomorrow? Drive you crazy?
Yeah, you're English.
They
collect English. Don't shorten anything.
Hey, well done.
Thanks, Loz.
Hey, let's go to Belmont. Rachel, what small thing gives you the irts?
Oh, hello. My husband always puts a tea towel on the oven, like on the handle bit, or squishy. It's the first thing I look at when I walk through the door on the left.
So not straight, is that what you're saying?
No, and he just like hangs it there like he scrunches it and it doesn't dry and it just looks stupid.
Yeah, I think I might be guilty of that one actually.
At least there's a tea towel there, right? Yeah. When there's no tea towel.
That leads into Swayze's problem.
It's got to be straight.
Okay.
It's got to be straight. Fair enough, too.
Pick it up.
Good on you,
Rachel. Thanks, Rachel. Bye.
Breakfast with the lot. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber.
This month, enjoy up to 50% extra savings at ABC Blinds.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber.
Hey, guys, a lot of people front of mind today will have in their thoughts the Aussies doing well in the cricket.
Yes.
They'll have the latest news from around the world, which has not been great in the last 24 hours. They might be thinking about the Reserve Bank maybe dropping interest rates tomorrow, and some will be thinking about what the kids have got, if they've got something special at school this week. And for some people, none of that matters right now because they just want to try and stay dry, warm and fed.
Yes.
Homelessness Week has kicked off this week.
It sure has. And, you know, the stats are alarming and they're getting higher and higher. They think that there's about 9,000 West Australians sleeping rough.
Yes.
Yep.
And you know, the difficult thing is too that not all these people are on the streets. They still consider couch surfing and those things to be homeless, people who don't have their own residence.
A lot
and
of people sleeping in their cars.
Absolutely. Mm. And the services where people get food and things like that, they see lots of people rocking up with families in cars because that's their home, trying to get some food and some assistance.
And look, we talked about this last week because we all went out for a work do and we were, you know, shocked and upset by what we saw. I mean, we've seen it in the news a lot recently, but to see it ourselves and realize so many people doing it tough for whatever reasons.
Yeah.
And now that this Homelessness Week has started, I guess we just sort of want to be do our part in whatever small way we can
What we saw, mate, was just a glimpse of what's out there.
Yeah.
It's just the tip of the iceberg, as people say. But they're saying that, there's more stats we're throwing at you, and you can say how much that means. But 14,000 people on the social housing waiting list, but they're waiting an average of 2.5 years, which is a hell of a long wait.
A long
what
time.
Do you do in the in-between?
Yeah. And I can tell you guys, last night I went out with the Salvation Army, and, you know, God bless the Salvos. The work they do is sensational. We went out last night to feed the homeless and people who are living without homes. And they were telling me, the guys who have worked there for a very long time and worked with the community a long time, said to me, there are people out there who spent 15 years on that wait list.
Yep.
So it's one thing to say, 2.5 years to wait for a home, but 15 years, you know, this is a long time that people are really doing it tough.
Yeah. Look, for me personally this week, I just hope that, you know, we can all open our hearts a little bit. And if you've ever kind of thought, they've done it to themselves, or, you know, and those are legitimate sort of things to think about, but open your mind to new possibilities and a bit of empathy. And I just think in a country as rich as ours, that should be unacceptable.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And what's the right thing to do?
I mean, I don't know.
Do you hand someone $4 or do you talk to them, or are you making them feel worse? Because the dignity is a really big thing. Mm.
Well, yeah. And I think even when we say the word homeless people, we talk about homelessness as an issue and everyone gets categorized into this one box.
Yeah.
But, you know, to make this more human, it is people without homes.
Yeah, true.
You know, they're people. Okay. And so, you know, we really need to focus on that this week. And so we'll give you some information, and also heads up for everybody who needs the help. Tranby Centre is open 24 hours every day this week. And also Rua is open from 7 p.m. till 7 a.m. for all women in a trial week. Okay. So
and
check
some
that out.
Audio from your time on the streets last night.
Yeah, we took some video and some audio. We'll play that during the week.
That's on the way on this Homelessness Week.
The Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber.
It's the start of Homelessness Week.
Yeah, and we're talking about it a lot this week because we're trying to raise some awareness and find out what homeless people need. What do they need from us? Yeah. What are the services? What's happening out there? 9,000 West Australians slept rough last night.
Mm.
That's an alarming stat for our country. Like, we just shouldn't have that kind of homelessness.
No, and it makes such perfect sense when you kind of take the time to think about it. Of all of the things that one needs to be provided within this life, shelter. mm-hmm. a place to close a door and just feel safe. We take it for granted.
Yeah, safe and warm as well, yeah, because there's a lot of people, like Kimber did raise earlier today, there's a lot of people in Perth sleeping in their cars.
Yes.
And not only is it cold in your car overnight, you can't leave the heater running in a car. You run out of battery power or petrol, but the other thing about that is that in your car, you're not really that safe. There's a pane of glass between you and trouble, potentially. Yeah.
No.
So there's that thing. And if you're sleeping rough, there's that thing of someone stealing your shoes or stealing your gear, that your beloved blanket or whatever you might have obtained.
Well, guys, I went out last night with the Salvation Army to do a food drop-off to people who are sleeping rough. And we were talking about choices, and lots of people were saying, they might say to you, homeless people might say, oh, I'm here by choice. And we might perceive that to be like, oh, well, you walked away from your mum and dad, or you left your... But a lot of the time, this is leaving abusive households and places where they're not safe, and putting themselves in an area where they think they're safer than the alternative. And we talk about choices and where that gets to. And we spoke to a man last week, Alan, who was a successful businessman, had $1 million contract ready to go, and then his wife was diagnosed with terminal cancer.
Yep.
And he made the choice to stop working and to take care of his wife.
Mm.
And that choice basically landed him and his two daughters almost homeless.
Yeah, we asked him how he ended up there.
I made some of the decisions that led to us becoming homeless. That was because you're not functioning properly when you're in grief.
No.
And we had no choice. I wasn't working after being Dawn's primary carer. Some more poor decisions, and the next minute we're having to ask family and friends if they can help us move out of a home, and could they put us up for a little while whilst I got back on my feet.
You can imagine that you're going through that grief and you're trying to make decisions, and sometimes you're taking a bit of a punt on something being the right thing for you and your kids. And obviously Alan made some decisions under that kind of duress that were the right thing.
And just an example of how it can happen to any of us, you know, there but for the grace of God. But I also think, you know, when we know that we're being apathetic about something, and you want to justify it. None of us want to be bad people. We all try to be good people. So you might go, oh, well, they made that choice. They made the choice to do drugs. They made that, whatever it might be, because it allows us to deflect some of that feeling away from ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, who cares?
Yeah.
Who cares how they got there?
Yeah. There's been mistakes made, it's a misconception. I met a lot of people last night that are not drug and alcohol affected, but their circumstances have landed them there.
When we met Alan and had a good chat with Alan, we're really glad that he and his family are back on their feet, which is terrific. We did ask him, I mean, we all want to know what we can do to help and what can be done. This is what Alan had to say.
I'd like to see us stop trying to put a plaster on a broken leg. You know, the rough sleepers are at the end of the line. And a lot of them, you know, they are just one moment away from, this is all too hard.
Mm.
An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure.
It sure is. Mm. Well, all this week we will be talking during Homelessness Week and doing what we can, and let you know what resources are out there and how we can all make a bit of a difference.
And we'll share some of the audio that you obtained out in the city.
Yeah,
the
took some video last night and met some people. So, yeah, we'll get that out during the week.
Yeah, Homelessness Week covered all week on The Big Breakfast here at Mix 94.5.
This will fill you up. Everything Perth for brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire-Z, Matt and Kimber.
Our friend Kimber, also known as the Queen of Quiz Nights, is with us.
I do spend a lot of time at Quiz Nights.
You do?
Usually hosting them.
Oh, yeah, I know that.
Right?
Yeah.
And yet
you have such terrible general knowledge.
I know. That's why I host.
Yeah, we'll say that with love.
No, that's why I host, because I'm useless on the table.
Yeah.
But on Saturday night, I went to a quiz night for Heart Animal Rescue.
Okay.
And my friend Clinton hosted. And so I got to go
as a
guest.
You call him Clinton. Yeah,
my Clinton. Yeah. He said, do you want to come? I've got a table. And I went, I'd love that, because I never normally get to enjoy it.
Yeah.
Yep.
So he invited me on stage to do the raffle draw.
Right.
And they'd sold hundreds of tickets in this huge bucket.
Yep.
And it was packed with these tickets, right?
Sure.
And we get five prizes in
and
I draw my partner James's ticket.
Oh dear.
Right.
Now
I'm swirling the bucket with my hand every time, you know, but I draw his ticket and everyone goes, oh, right. Anyway, so he goes up to collect a prize.
Yeah.
While he's up there collecting his prize, I draw the next one.
Yeah.
And I drew him again.
Oh, and that was for the car, right?
A different ticket. and I drew him again.
Yeah.
Now, the whole room's looking at me like it's rigged.
Yes.
As if I would do such a thing.
I take you just threw that one over your shoulder, didn't you?
Well, yeah, we did a redraw.
Yeah, of course.
We were like, that's unnecessary.
Yeah.
But everybody was looking at me like I had done something wrong. Yeah. I was more amazed. I'm like, why is nobody marveling at the fact that what are the odds
probability
of me pulling out my partner straight after one another, two tickets.
By lotto.
In a draw. Yeah. I know what you were thinking then, Paul.
I didn't even say that word.
You misheard that.
About. Paul, it's about probability.
Isn't that? I thought everyone's raging, and meanwhile, I'm just thinking James and I are soulmates.
Yes,
we're soulmates. In a bucket full of all of those, I picked him each time.
You know what people are thinking? People want to know what his prize was. Can you tell us?
The prize he chose, because you could choose from a table.
Yeah.
And he chose about 15 blocks of chocolate.
Hey!
And then we divided it amongst the table.
Well, what was the other prize he could have won?
A bowl of succulents.
He took the right prize.
But either way, they both would have been suitable. But, you know, isn't you know, that amazing probability?
It is amazing. And my favourite thing about that story is you going, oh, it was just so nice to not be. Anyway, after I got up on stage.
I know, he made me work.
I own the stage.
He made me work.
You know, my favourite quiz night story ever was Laurie. One of Laurie's daughters went to a quiz night once and she bought a raffle ticket because it was like a bunch of mates from uni and she bought a ticket in the raffle and it was 5 nights in Rio.
Yes.
And she won a packet of jocks.
Oh.
So everyone there thought it was an actual trip. I'm going, how big was the quiz night for you not to think it was going to be something cheap and nasty?
Shame if you spent $100 on tickets.
Yeah. Yeah,
good for the charity.
Yeah, yeah. So when's your next quiz night, Kimber?
Stop it, James. Don't even joke. It's Friday night. I'm doing one on Friday.
The heads and tails expert.
Breakfast with the lot. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt, and Kimber.
Oh. Another day brings more news with the occasional bizarre twist.
Wow.
She's a really good news reader, but here's what Jim King missed.
You're doing some really unco clapping there, Kimber.
Just throwing it in every now and then.
And was that warm?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, nice one. Nice one.
It's a warm morning.
There. Okay, drug testing in sport. No laughing matter, let's be honest.
No, very serious at the moment.
They've been in the news often and in the news at the moment after the swimming, etc. Look, an American basketball player who plies his trade in Europe. He's played in Greece and France.
Mm-hmm.
He has been banned. For at least a year after tests revealed that he's pregnant.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's like a Schwarzenegger movie.
Yes, Donald DJ Cooper has been playing for AS Monaco. Basketball's huge in Europe.
I
didn't realise. A lot of them are attached to football clubs, so there's like a Barcelona team and blah, blah, blah.
Huge contract.
Right. Mm. Oh, thank you. I didn't know that. Yeah, well, not for DJ anymore.
Oh,
so,
really?
Yeah, he did his wee wee test and it's come back and they've said, look, we've discovered some hormones and things in your wee wee that mean you're pregnant. And he's like, what? I don't know.
Yeah.
But it turns out it was his girlfriend who didn't know she was pregnant. But boy, oh boy, she knows now.
Oh, she's been given the pee samples.
She's been given the pee samples.
The old substitute to test it.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought that was going to be like he was born a female and then has gone through that. And I thought, that's awesome. Yeah, through the entire thing and no one knows.
Oh, right. Yes.
Yeah.
I don't see gender.
Had thought of that.
But I mean, the thing is,
until they're pregnant,
it's always sad, of course, because Donald, you know, was doing his career. I don't know what he has been taking to not want to use his own wee wee.
DJ.
But of course, he was.
Matt keeps calling it wee wee.
He was hoping to start playing national basketball for, you know, like Donald DJ Cooper, right?
Yeah, great.
What's the one country in Europe that you don't think he'd want to play basketball for?
Greece.
I mean, not that, I'm not saying anything, but he wanted to play for Bosnia Herzegovina.
Oh, really? Oh, okay.
That just rolls off the tongue.
Naturalized. Yeah. I mean, I don't know what his connection is.
Where was that, Kimber?
I've always dreamed of playing for Bosnia Herzegovina.
Dude, don't even get me to point out where Esperance is.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire, Matt, and Kimber.
Coburn, Cannington, Melfin, Girraween, Joondalup, Eastwick Park, the places between. Home is where the heart is and that's all good. Let me tell you all about it, Matt's Hits from Your Hood.
Queen's Park, what have you done to me?
It got a little less street when you started clapping to that one.
Yeah, it did a bit, didn't it?
Yeah.
Well, normally you go,
it's not quite the clap song,
go back to the year.
Can you go check it?
Check it.
That's it.
Yo,
thanks,
you
man.
Feel me? Queen's Park? You're tugging at my heartstrings.
Yeah, what's this about, this emotional roller coaster you've been on?
You know, obviously when I did Beckenham and even Cannington, like it's my hood and it was good fun and I thought, sure. You know, blah, blah, blah. But as I've been thinking more about this, I mean, my grandparents on my mother's side from Blackpool,
yep.
Harold and Ruth, were very important to me, beautiful people who looked after myself, my brother and my mum very well, particularly when my parents split up.
Mm.
And so, you know, a lot of time in the area. And as I've been reading the comments from our listeners, just like the Coronation Hotel.
Right.
Which I'd forgotten about, I've got, you know, as soon as I read that, all these images of my parents and their friends they used to meet there.
Yeah.
I used to play for Queen's Park Soccer Club.
Oh, there you go.
For years.
And you forgot.
I'd forgotten.
Wow.
I mean, there's a lot of things I've forgotten, Kimber. That's sure. Not unusual.
Of
you know?
Course, what, mate, yeah. The Coronation Hotel would make a lot of Brits feel at home, wouldn't it?
Absolutely.
Coronation Street.
Yeah, absolutely. And the Queen's Park Recreation Centre, again, right. Completely forgotten about it.
Yeah.
Mike, and as soon as I read it, but this visceral memory of being there at bingo with my nana and pop, with cigarette smoke hanging in the, like...
Because you could smoke in the
you
hall.
You could smoke in the hall, burning my eyes.
But you could smoke on aeroplanes back then.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
And as a kid, I was just so fascinated by the Kelly's Eye, it's number one, and all the doctor's orders, number nine.
Like, fat ladies.
The bingo call and
that's
stuff.
That's so cool.
So this has been a real kind of, a really joyous experience, actually.
Oh, I like that. And it's a lot more exciting than what I was going to offer for Queen's Park, because when I typed in things to do in Queen's Park, Perth, WA.
Yeah.
I got two expired art classes, one that was
really?
April this year and one that was October last year. So
they were
sorry
great.
About that.
They were great fun.
Great too, art classes, though.
But yeah. they were paintings of the winning bingo numbers.
Yeah.
Legs 11.
Yeah, excellent. Yeah, so it's been a real labour of love, this one.
That's okay. Nice.
Yeah.
And a big response to people helping out with tips and ideas.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Oh, and the main one, I don't even know if you'll make it into the song. I hope he's still with us.
Yeah.
There was a conductor on the train that we called Speedy.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Right? On the Armadale line there. And he used to be so loud and big and he'd go, Queen's Park, next stop. And we loved him.
Oh, really? Entertainer.
Yeah, an entertainer.
Oh,
yeah.
That.
Okay. Oh, nice. Thanks for your comments on Queen's Park. We'll see what makes it into the song.
Too right.
Now, how did Speedy get his nickname?
Because he was really quick and efficient with the tickets, ripping off the tickets.
I thought it was going to be running and chasing kids who haven't paid.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
It is the Big Breakfast at Mix 94.5. So Friday morning, we're thinking about
I hope so.
Matt's
I think so, yeah.
Beautiful Queen's Park. Thanks for your help with that one.
Everything Perth for Brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber.
The juice.
Oh, do tell.
Let's hear it. Give me the details.
The five couples chosen for this year's block met with on Channel 9, met with Scott Cam last night outside the St Kilda's Oslo Hotel, which is what they're renovating.
Yep.
It's a huge property, and they might have bitten off more than they can chew.
The average square meterage of the block over 14 seasons is 160 square metres. Last year at the Gatwick, our contestants renovated, on average, 230 square metres.
Wow.
So this year, your task is to renovate, on average, 460 square metres.
Ugh.
Wow.
460 square metres, that's double the size of the Gatwick.
Mm.
So bigger than the project last year
How
by a lot.
How many Nick Natanui's is that?
Several.
Oh, my God, I can't believe I didn't work it out. We love to measure things in Nick Nats.
Yeah.
And, you know, last year they were only given $220,000 for their reno, and this year they only get an extra $30,000. That's not much, is it?
Oh, it's going to be spread more thinly.
Yeah, like $250,000 to do up places like that. What would you guys get done in a week? Because in this week they've got to do a bedroom and a bathroom.
I could clean a bathroom.
In a week?
In a week.
I could hang one picture like I tried to do yesterday.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Tough gig?
Well, just the ugliest plugs in the world.
Hey, if it's too hard for you, there's the door.
But the picture was still up, Scotty.
Well, keep listening. We are playing Block Block Who's There at 8 a.m. and we're giving away 10K each week. So maybe that'll help get someone else
to
hang the pictures, Claire's. Now, former Wiggle star Greg Page, he was the original yellow Wiggle.
Yep.
He left the group back in 2013.
I'm Magic Greg. I've got my magic hat, my magic cape,
and of course, my magic wand, but I'll put that back in my pocket. I don't need it right now because there's something else I'd like to show everyone. Oh. It's my favourite colouring in book.
He's the tall guy in the yellow shirt, right?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. And he's back with a new children's show. It's called Team Rescue. It's been picked up by ABC TV and Virgin.
Okay.
And he's already written more than 50 original songs for the project. And it's partly the brainchild of a fireman, Tony Chico, who hopes to use the TV show to prevent the alarming number of children that are ending up in emergency departments every year because of preventable accidents.
Okay.
So just mistakes that kids are making that they're not quite aware of. They reckon there's about 5,000 kids a year that happens to.
Yep.
I mean, this is a great idea because we all remember how memorable the Channel 9 advertisements were, the community announcements.
Absolutely.
This is all about ding-a-ling. Here comes one now. Ding-a-lings do stupid things. They don't think of others at all. They're dopes and bullies, see the trouble they bring. That's what we call
ding-a-lings.
Genius.
They were great. Oh, yeah. So hopefully he has success with that. It could be excellent.
And I'm glad he's well because he's had a few health problems, Greg.
He certainly has. He left the Wiggles. You're right. And Leonardo DiCaprio has revealed on The Project last night that he knew the moment that Australian actress Margot Robbie would be an incredible star and a great actress. Right. He was talking about the scene in Wolf of Wall Street where Margot hilariously throws this glass of water in his face, like, a number of times.
I just had that driving range started with Bermuda grass,
oh,
Jordan,
my
and
God.
Now you
read the grass.
No, you didn't research the whole thing and deal with the golf course.
Oh my God, you had to deal with the golf course people too. What a Greek tragedy, honey. Oh my God.
It was that scene in particular that actually bagged Margot the role. Apparently she was in the audition and she chose to improvise and slap Leo in the face instead of kissing him.
Mm-hmm.
And Scorsese was like, I love it. You're in.
You got it.
Yeah.
And so she
now
slapped him.
The two of them are working together in Quentin Tarantino's new movie, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. So lucky them.
Yeah.
That's your Daily Juice.
Good. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire-Z, Matt and Kimber. Everything Perth for brekkie.
Now, the moment you've been waiting for all morning. It's Captain Paul's joke of the day.
The sad news from the Nestle factory from yesterday, actually. Yeah. A worker was crushed beneath a case of chocolate that fell off some storage racking.
Oh, really? Oh,
yeah, good. Anyway, he called out repeatedly, but every time he shouted, the Milky Bars are on me, his colleagues just cheered.
Wow. He's been practicing that for about 4 days.
And it didn't work. Yeah. Maybe too much practice.
Took him
practice.
4 days to get it out. Yeah. That was a long joke.
Yeah. Mind you, the stumble was the funniest part.
We love you, Paul.
That Big Breakfast catch-up was for ABC Blinds up to 50% off sale.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire-Z, Matt and Kimber. Weekdays from 6 a.m.